feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
I feel like I woke you from a eyes open slumber of some sort.
I had a friend that used to sleep with his eyes open. It was a fucking nightmare, dude. I played in a band with him and stuff. And so like we'd be on tour and I'd look over and he's just staring while sleeping on like the van bench.
That's horrifying.
It was horrifying.
Do you practice that? Or is it just the thing you do naturally?
I think it's got to be like a genetic thing. Like it's got to be built into your system, right?
I don't
do
know.
Do we have a doctor? Do we know any doctors? We know lawyers. What's with comedians being lawyers, but we have no doctor comedians?
I do know actual doctors, but I don't want to ask them because I feel like the answer will not be something I want.
I'm always up for knowledge. You go ask them and you let me know. I'll let you learn it first.
I feel like the answer is going to be like, oh no, they're not sleeping. They're watching you all the time. But anyway, I'm Danny, you're George, this is Feel Feelings, and we are joined today by Addison. How are you?
Hello, I'm Addison. Thanks for having me.
No, I did not know what last name to go with, so you have to forgive me on that one.
That
I know
is cool.
Professionally, you're one, and I know your actual last name, so I did not know which one you wanted me to go with there.
I mean, I use them both interchangeably. My full name is Addison Teal Young. All my social media is Addison Teal. So people want to be my friend. That's how you can find me. But yeah, I usually use Addison Teal because I feel like Young is just kind of the last name. So, you know.
Yeah, that is a default. That's the other character in a movie is Young. Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh. Addison Teal then. How are you?
I am so good. I'm so excited to feel feelings and talk about feelings. I love feelings. I think it's great that they exist and we get to feel them. So,
where have you been for 200 and some odd episodes? A lot of times it's fucking pulling teeth from all these aggro male comedians.
You got to get some more women on. We love our emotions.
Yeah, no, it's always some like aggro dude that's like, oh, what makes you feel happy? Oh, no, probably my dog or something. That's a dick. Yeah.
A lot of people. Paul Spratt.
Yeah, no offense to Paul Spratt at all. Paul was great.
That was a very good Paul impression.
I don't feel things that much, but my dog is cool.
Well, you met Paul once and you were actually hitting that Paul accent really close.
I do that. And I also, you guys, I was listening to Blanket and Covers, Danny's other show today while I was in the car. And you were talking about your Counting Crows series of
Counting Crows.
And I got a nice shout out for being able to do the part at the end of Ranking.
It was very tempting to be like, hold on, I need to call George.
I love Ranking. I really wish Trainer liked the Counting Crows more, because it seems like every cover you talk about on that episode, you're just like, it's fine, I guess.
Yeah, by the end, he came around on Accidentally in Love, which was not the one I was expecting would pull him in.
Shrek 2, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Addison, how do you feel about the Counting Crows?
I mean, I love Shrek, so love it.
It was really funny that like the generational divide in the covers were like bands that I knew and liked played the much more kind of somber, emotional Counting Crows hits, and then like all the bedroom pop and like indie rapper bands did Accidentally in Love.
Well, there's one that was like a TikTok famous one where it's a British kid and it like the song just sort of stays level the entire time. He's some sort of like bedroom pop guy.
I believe that was Kid Rain.
You're right. And he's like a TikTok person. So like that song became like, oh, I just got a new puppy and it's getting older. And you're like, you watch the puppy grow up. And then they use
emotional.
Yeah. And then they use this like sad Australian version of Accidentally in Love.
That just made me think of what's the Smash Mouth remix that's just Beer Stop Coming and They Don't Stop Coming, and that's the whole song, is they just keep that lyric.
They just keep on going and they don't stop coming. That's great. I wish I wish some bands I saw had done that when I went to go see. I went to a festival over this last weekend, and there were a couple bands that I was like, you know, this is part of the joke, right?
Yeah.
Like the Mermen, I think they were called or something. And they're just a Disney a cappella drag show.
What? This sounds amazing.
Yeah. Any combination of those like three adjectives you just said would be cool.
Yeah. But
all three of them, I'm like, all right, I need to know every part of
this. Hold on, I'll pull it up. I couldn't catch their set because I was going to see Idols. Because I've been told I'm supposed to like
Idols. Are you ready to report back as like the biggest Idols fan in the world? Because I know going in, you were like,
they're very good. I'll leave it at that. They're very good. But yeah, what was I saying? Doesn't matter. It's not about me. It's about Addison, whatever your last name is. But I'm glad you're feeling good. Glad you're feeling, you know, positive. How was your day today? What were you doing?
It was good. You know, I worked. I spilled some water on my work laptop. But you know,
did it survive?
TBD. The tech department has it. I'm feeling hopeful about it. And I think it's gonna be fine. So. Yeah, answered a lot of emails from my phone, and spreadsheets on your phone are not like the most fun thing in the world, is what I learned today. But you know, you get through.
I have a spreadsheet for this show on my phone that is the most unruly document. And like once a week for booking, I have to look it up and like go through and make sure we're not repeating emotions and all that kind of stuff. And it is so just like clunky and awkward, but.
Yeah,
it keeps happening. Show keeps going.
Great.
I've got a system down, I guess.
The band's called The Little Mermen.
The Little Mermen.
Love this. I'm going to be listening to them after this podcast.
What I understand, it is part drag show, part Disney cover band.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
What we play, and it's just a list of Disney movies.
Love it.
But they must have been fun. Anyway.
Can I promote something? Because that reminded me of a thing that I do. I'm co-director of a Golden Girls drag show at Steel Stacks.
Wow, that's
We should say that is your job.
Yes,
you are in charge of putting things on at Steel Stacks.
I am. I'm programming specialist, and drag is one of those things, and I love drag. We're going into what we are do Dragtoberfest as part of Oktoberfest coming up. First few weekends of October, and then come Christmas time, we'll be doing our Golden Girls drag Christmas show. So just gonna throw out the promo. Come check it out. It's a lot of fun. I have
noticed that a lot with comedy clubs where like there can only be so many like dudes being angry.
Yeah. Telling jokes, you gotta diversify.
And I love the fact that drag has you know filled that position in a comedy club because I like Marc Maron. There can only be so many.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
like there needs to be some. When I was first starting off in North Carolina, one of my favorite mics there, they would open with 20 minutes of improv and then do the stand-up open mic.
Oh,
and
cool.
I just thought that was brilliant to like break it up a little bit. And I love the fact that like drag is also being incorporated into that performing arts space. It needs to happen way more.
Agreed.
I love drag. Drag is so much fun.
Yeah.
I don't understand all drag the kids I grew up with that they're just like, I like RuPaul. And I was like, then you'll love it live. Go to a show.
Yeah. Go to a drag show. It will bring you merriment.
Exactly. And maybe it's just my mom showed me a Birdcage too long, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, there is really few better experiences than a drag brunch. We're like, brunch food is the best food. And then also people are there just to entertain you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I get a lot of joy when I see like young children at drag brunch that are like giving dollars to drag queens.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's such a it's weirdly beautiful. I can't put my finger on to why I enjoy it so much, but it's just really nice and profound.
Oh, I saw a toddler. Yeah, dancing with a drag queen this weekend. There was drag that just like happened at a festival I was at like 2 in the afternoon, and seeing like drag queens and toddlers dancing together, I was like, this is amazing. This mm-hmm. is beautiful. This is like yeah. community coming together in the best way possible. And I'm here for it.
Speaking of children where they shouldn't be, I said I was going to talk about it a little
bit. Is that what we were talking about?
We are talking about it. So I was at that same festival with the Little Mermen and Idols and everything. And I got to see Green Day. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge Green Day fan. And cool. it was amazing. It was like a self-fulfilling prophecy where I was 15 and I couldn't go to this Green Day show. And I got to do it 15 years later.
You did it.
I did it. But while I was there, you know, the singer Billy Joe Armstrong is playing a show. And I guess in the front row was a toddler. Like someone had brought their toddler to the railing of the Green Day show. And he just walked over and was confused and waved and then just kept on saying into the microphone, "Give me your baby."
Oh man, one time I saw John Mulaney live and it was right after Mulaney got canceled, and in the crowd was like, I think there were like 10 or 11, and he just starts chatting with this kid. And eventually it just kind of gets to the point where he's like, "All right, this has all been fun, kid. Don't follow your dreams. It'll get canceled." And so he went back to his show. And it was like the only like bitter moment in the entire show. And it was directed at a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And like it was literally like yeah. that week it had been canceled.
Maybe this is a bad take, but maybe we need to not tell our kids that they can do anything and just hit them with a hard reality. Like there was an old SNL sketch when it was Daniel Radcliffe, I guess, was the guest or something, and it was
heard of him.
Him talking about how his parents said he could do anything, so he combined his two loves of interpretive dance and calligraphy, and it's just him sort of flailing, painting on a big canvas in black ink, and it, like I'm not a curmudgeon-y old man. I'm no Paul Spratt, but I identified with that a little bit. I was like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't tell people they can combine their loves of interpretive dance and calligraphy. Or maybe I'm just... I
think it sounds beautiful.
You do sound so much older.
I didn't get
right
enough
now,
out
George.
Of my dreams.
Yeah, let's let people follow their dreams. You know, maybe they'll happen
absolutely
differently
not.
Than we imagined. But if you want to, I mean, you don't necessarily need to combine them, right? Like, just mm-hmm. do calligraphy and interpretive dance. You know, we need more calligraphers. A handwritten sign is very nice.
That is.
Yeah, it does feel like... in,
you're all right.
In this TikTok world where everything has a space... you know, combining those two probably does have a spot in TikTok already.
Yeah,
I can go look.
Well, while you're doing that, I pulled up the Little Mermen Under the Sea just to get a taste. And they are fully decked out in different character costumes from the Little Mermaid. So we'll just get a little taste of what the Little Mermen sound like. This is a studio recording.
Dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you, but here on the ocean floor, there's wonderful things around you. What more is you looking for? Under the sea, under the sea. Darling, it's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me. Up on the shore, they work all day.
Out of the sun, they sail
away. Yeah. That was the worst possible place to play that clip, because what I'm watching, there are two people dressed in, one's the Little Mermaid, one might be, I don't know, Moana. There's a Smee in the background and a Stitch. I have no idea. But the two female characters are just dancing in front of microphones. And at some point they do sing background, but we did not get to it. It's probably even better than what we heard.
Wow. Well, it sounded great from here.
I can tell why they were booked on the festival on the beach in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that was Prince Eric singing to us, if anybody wasn't sure.
Of course, it sounded just like him.
Yeah, it's exactly what I pictured Prince Eric's voice sounding like. Ariel loses hers, and that's what he sounded like this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the singer was the white dude that I saw in the image, which means I really hope he would have pulled off like a Jamaican accent like the crab. Yep. Just really fuck it up.
I'm glad he didn't go for the accent, but he did keep all the words wrong.
He
the
did
grammar
say
was equally incorrect.
Wetter. Down where it's wetter. Like, he said it phonetically. He read the lyrics and went, "This is all I need."
All right. Are you ready to spin this?
Yeah, but I have many more questions. Should I get the intern?
Yeah. Well, you can ask your questions after the wheel spins. Let's at least know what we're doing today.
Intern!
And we got quizzical.
Ooh.
That's too many Z's.
I am quizzical about the definition of quizzical.
The way I've been describing quizzical to people, because mm-hmm. this is totally randomly decided right now and not mm-hmm. talked about previous to this.
No, it's just a question that you have a lot of the time.
It just comes up. People are like, what does quizzical mean?
Yeah.
It's so strange that it would come up like this organically.
Yeah, and so recently, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way I've been describing it is when you make a noise at a dog and they go, huh?
Oh.
Where they're like into it, but confused.
I do that to my dog a lot because I recently got a poster tube. And if you make didgeridoo noises through that poster tube at your dog,
very quizzical about it.
Iggy is so quizzical about what the wow noise is coming from the living room. You know, we did have a guy on the show here and there now and then that I could give a call to if you'd like.
I do forget where we left him, but I'm sure we can get in touch with him.
Let's let me call him really quickly. Hey, man. Hey. Yeah, no. Yeah, we need another one, if you don't mind. It's going to be quizzical. I know it is a lot of Z's. All right. Thank you.
Welcome to What Does It Mean? This week's emotion is quizzical, indicating mild or amused puzzlement.
I do love that your insistence on this being a lot of Z's, we're like, it's two.
How many words have a Z in it?
Pizza.
My name.
That's not a word. That's okay. I would. Okay. Names don't count in Scrabble. I am saying Scrabble.
Zumba.
I define words by Scrabble.
Zipper.
I mean,
that's one.
Zimbabwe.
I mean, that's Addie one. Opened with pizza.
Like, yeah. Pizza, classic one.
Pizza is the only one that deserves two Z's.
Fine. Pizzeria. We can just keep going.
Still two.
Zazz. That's even more Z's.
I'm going to Google what word has the most Z's. While I'm doing that, Addison, what makes you feel quizzical?
What makes me feel quizzical? You know, quizzical is a great feeling to have because, you know, you're learning something usually or imagining something in the process. And there's like amusement involved, right? I would say just like interesting people make me quizzical, right? Where you're just like, you see like a human that you're like, how did you become this way? You know, like I'm thinking about like women that I see working at like the museum gift shop and they've got on like these really cool, like flowing poncho and like blue hair and like they're the friendliest person ever and know everything about everything in the museum. And I'm like, how? I am so quizzical about your life and how you ended up here right now. And I would like you to adopt me, please.
When is your lunch break?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like the answer to that question is never. I feel like they just exist in that space.
Yeah.
It's like a Matrix moment where you're like, if I saw them somewhere else, that's because it's broken.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's totally fair. And I do think that you're onto something there where it's like understanding... To like put like a deeper cap on it where it's like understanding the like other people's humanity, if that makes sense, like diving deep into like what makes another person do that thing or say something that way. You know, it's super interesting just to think about like how different we all are in existing in a certain universe and yet still have enough to like find common interests, common ground, common things to get excited about and to dive even further into.
Yeah.
And I think that is embodied in the quirky gift shop worker as an individual.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, my favorite of like the gift shop worker type is the people who look at you when you buy stuff like you bought the wrong thing. Yeah. They're like, we had so much to offer and you bought the pencil? Like,
yeah.
Or I would say this one's kind of in the negative space of it, where like, I don't want to hang out with you, but like when you buy something slightly embarrassing and they comment on it. I ran into those people in North Carolina a lot. Like I would have to go and buy, let's call them prophylactics. And they would always be like, well, I'm just happy you're being safe. I was like, ring it up like it's milk. Yeah. Do not.
Yeah. I had that experience recently too. I went to the thrift store and I left with just two tiny bowls that were shaped like fish and two spoons. And the lady at the counter was like, are you like making a special dessert? And I was like, no, actually I have a tea station at work and I need a place to put my tea bag after I have mixed the tea and the honey together. So this is like the perfect size bowl for that. And she was just like, you know what? I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah,
and I was like,
I'm so sorry.
All right, fine. But I thought my story was great. So,
that's a very weird response to that, because it's a very normal thing to have said.
Yeah.
I think it's a very logical reason why I bought those things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like you were like, it's for my dungeon. Like, I have a fish-themed dungeon.
It would have been weirder if you said, I just collect a lot of fish stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but also that's normal. A weirder reason. But like, weird, it's to have a collection of like, specific fish, sure, of just all fish, you find a fish, you buy it, that is weirder than I need a place to put my tea bag after I'm done making tea.
I would be physical of that person, right? Like, exactly. I would want to know about it. And also, Dan, the shark you have behind you, I actually have the same one in my living room, so I think that means I don't know, we're connected in some way.
You are.
So
that's a human exciting experience. That's the thing
that bonds you together.
Really?
Well, my sister gave it to me. I don't know where it came from prior to that. She was like, I don't know. And this was before I had a collection of shark things. There's another shark on this wall. There's another one.
You have a collection of shark things too?
I'm confused by the mirror of my computer. There's another shark right there.
Yeah, I
also have a collection of shark things. See, I knew we were connected. I feel like I have a little shark pin over here. I also do, let's promo another thing. At Oktoberfest, I usually dress up as a shark. I'm Sharky Shark. And I host the David Hasselhoff off, and this is a little shark keychain that I have.
Oh, that's a great little shark guy.
Yeah. Like,
well, I have a shark Lego thing. Where is it? Oh shoot.
I don't have any shark stuff, but I have a man that dresses up as a shark for me. Does that help?
You do.
I do.
Okay. I'm quizzical as to the origins of this necessity.
We are trying to bring it back. Unfortunately, this will come out after we make the announcement, but the show that we are trying to get back on the ground is postponed until the following week because Tattooed
Mom
wasn't
available.
No, Tattooed Mom was like, there's not enough info about the show to do it. And we're like, I promise you it's fine. So we're probably, as of right now, I believe it is being moved to Fergie's the following weekend. But I do a show called Spin to Freakin' Wheel, and it's a comedy open mic game show type situation where there's a giant wheel that has a bunch of, I would consider them, punishments on them. And one of them is I'll give you a couple examples because we always try to explain which ones. One of them is called AOA, and you have to do your whole set in a Italian accent because when Italians get upset, they go, hey, he, oh, hey. Then there's knives, where there are plastic knives taped to the bottom of everyone's chairs, and at any point during the comedian set, feel free to throw a knife at them.
You throw knives at them?
They're plastic.
Still, I would be scared.
Oh, there's so many great videos, but there's one where there is a thing on the board that's called Shark Attack, and it's the only one we don't explain. And we say, please continue with your set. And our tech guy, friend of the show, Brendan T. Gorin, will get dressed into a shark costume and then begin to just heckle them from the back of the room. And that might be happening soon. It was supposed to happen the day before this episode is released. But it'll be next week. So come out to Verkey's to have a shark heckle you from the
back
of the room.
That's great. If you ever need a secondary shark, I would love to add and make it a double shark attack.
Oh my god, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I would love
it. Does I do want to get the show
shark and then surprise shark.
Yeah, yeah. I do want to have like more sketches written into the show where like if they land on Shark Attack again, there's like multiple scenes that can happen. Or like,
yeah,
it's either heckle or the shark gets on
stage. Stays on the wheel.
So yeah, stuff does not be removed from the wheel. The wheel is also fairly weighted. So when we originally had the first run on the show, it would land on Call Your Mom quite a bit. To a point where we had to like figure out how to nail in a ball bearing into the middle of it to see if we could keep it from sitting. So we just put like a skateboard wheel bearing in between it to keep it from doing it. Oh, it's a fun, ridiculous show.
This is awesome.
Yeah, now, speaking of fun, ridiculous shows, I don't want to get too far away from David Hasselhoff off.
Oh, yeah. So I guess it's clearly for Oktoberfest, I think. Yeah, this is September 30th. So I think it will have happened, but it's super fun. It's, I think, our fifth or sixth year doing this show. We have a competition of who can be the most David Hasselhoff. There's a panel of judges that judges the competition, such as slow motion running, German karaoke. There's an obstacle course where they have to save a Barbie doll from a pool, and me, Sharky Shark, chases them around, preventing them from doing so. And yeah, it's a great time.
Well, you are in luck. This comes out on the 26th. So
amazing. So yeah, everyone come to Bethlehem to Oktoberfest and check out the Hasselhoff off.
If this show accomplishes nothing else.
I can't believe that there's a brilliant, crazy comedy show in the place where our Lord Jesus Christ was born.
I know, right?
It's really beautiful. There needs to be more religious shit in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, don't you think?
Oh, we are the Christmas city. Don't worry, we got the star. Well, I mean, on
there's
the hill.
Star. You're coming in. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only time I've ever been to Bethlehem is I've driven through it briefly, and I do like how on the highway you're just on a cliff looking down at the city.
Yep.
It's just as you turn the corner, we're like, that's it, huh? Wow. Like, mm-hmm. Really at the bottom of this valley, eh?
Yep. Lehigh Valley, baby.
Fun stuff. Say,
I've been there a number of times recently, yeah. Plugging things if we're just on this train. I'll be out there again for the next Pigeon City sketch show.
Because I'm contributing again.
Yes.
Awesome.
Very excited about that. I love when they ask me to do stuff. It's always so insane.
They are so fun. I'm so excited for that show too.
I think the existence of Steel Stacks is a little bit quizzical, in the best possible way, because it is like, I think Bethlehem is just where people think like, oh, this is where like the populated area of Pennsylvania sort of ends. This is the end of the line, so to speak. And to find such a bastion of fun and cool comedy, just like the last stop on the train before you just go to Nowheresville, it's just rolling hills and stuff, is this nice like stopping point in a way, or starting point of like, okay, now we're getting populated and there's a Hasselhoff off and there's shark attacks and it's a beautiful
wiener dog
as
races
well, and wiener dog races in this like both weird, irreverent, fun, and then in one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen, comedy show wise, like it's just an insane looking, beautiful place. It's a quizzical area. I would definitely say
it is a quizzical area. It's very fun. You know, my one friend likes to say it's great. Bethlehem is awesome because you're never more than 20 minutes away from a cow, but also you can be in a city in 20 minutes too. So like, that's really what you want. Balance of life. See a cow, be in a city. It's the best.
Yeah, I don't get that here.
Well, no, there was that one cow.
Who?
That one cow?
The one cow. There was, did you remember that? Philly cow?
I don't remember.
I know about the Philly horses.
I'm trying to start a new folklore thing.
The Philly cow.
Yeah. The Philly cow.
Yeah.
You said it so confidently.
You guys know about the Philly cow?
Oh, yeah. Pimento. He comes out if you don't finish your cheesesteak.
Thank you for yes-anding me. I appreciate it. Dan does not do this.
Well, I was not aware whether I was not aware of a thing.
You gotta be ready all the time. Along. All the time, every day. I lie to a lot of people on the phone for work every day, all right? You guys gotta play along. You gotta back me up.
See, I work with kids. It's all about honesty.
Oh, boy. You don't lie to kids?
Oh, I lie to kids all the time. It's insane. All the time. No, we don't have computers here.
We talk here. No, I don't have games on my phone.
All the cookies are gone. Yeah.
That is.
No, you finished that. I mean, that's just gaslighting. But
such a fine line. I think we're allowed to gaslight kids, right?
I think probably not.
Probably not.
We call them white lies, right? Yeah.
What was I going to say about lying to children? I forgot.
That can't be what was.
I had something good. I had something in the chamber. I'm a little out of it today, guys. Did
your parents ever lie to you guys? What's like a good parent lie that you guys have had? Anything your parents didn't tell you about?
Oh, I have one, but it is kind of gnarly.
Gnarly.
I'm not going to tell you not to share it, but.
So my dad, and in fairness, he didn't put this together. He just relayed the information to us as children and said that there were small creatures that lived in the cabinets at this place that our grandparents, like, it's basically like a family beach house type situation. But it's an old house. It was built in like the 40s. And there's these little creatures that live inside the cabinets. And they're called a term that we have now learned is horribly insensitive.
Okay.
Because it is short for like a slang term for, in the 1860s and 70s, folks not from America and black folks.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we found that out much later.
Oof. Well, they started out real innocent. If they just have chosen a different name, could have been.
It's just unfortunate the term didn't hold up.
Yeah, it's like when you like there's a TikTok channel where these two girls will walk around their office and list phrases and terms that either like that no one knows until afterwards whether that phrase has like a bad past or just sounds like it does. So basket case. They did one on basket case and they're like, do you think basket case is insensitive? And the person will go like, oh no, I don't think so. It's probably just, you know, it's you want to lay around all the time. And then they'll read the definition of where it comes from. And it turns out basket case was a term used for World War I soldiers that had lost both their arms and legs and had to then be carried around in a basket for the rest of their life. So it does poke fun at the disabled.
I did not realize that that was even what it was referring to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was like kind of like stir crazy, losing your mind kind of.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I thought too.
It's a layabout and it came from, you know, disabled veterans.
Wow.
Yeah.
I learned two things there.
So you know, next time you're listening to Green Day, a great band.
Bring it back. Remember
that song and be like, wow, this is insensitive.
Wow. That is wild. Have you guys ever heard of Billy and the Bull? He was like a murderer in Ireland. And he also was, so he was in a bowl because it was before wheelchairs. So I don't remember if he was paralyzed or didn't have legs, but he would like sit in this bowl and just like canoe himself down the street. But turns out he was like a mass murderer because he had like all this really good upper arm strength and he would like strangle women in the woods and like no one suspected him. It's like, well, it's definitely not Billy. He's in a bowl. Yeah. And then it turned out it was. And he was only caught when a woman stabbed him in the eyeball with a hat pin. So then they were able to find it. It was like, well, yeah, that's him. That's the
guy. You ever heard of Meg Getz? She has this podcast. It's called Real Chills.
Yes, I have.
This seems like a story for Real Chills.
I love podcasting, so.
We'll get you back. I don't book it. Dan does. But
that's a wild story.
That is wild. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many great. I do like. When was this about?
I'm going to guess like the 1800s.
I love a good murder story from the 1800s. Oh, it's something about that era, like Burke and Hare and Jack the Ripper and like all these very, or like what, Springfield Jack, like what the hell was that? Why was that man so crazy?
Yeah.
I love scary stories from that era. That's so much fun.
Me too. I can handle those. Modern ones, too scary.
Too scary.
Yeah. Can't do it. Too nope.
I just got a commercial for a Lifetime movie about Gabby Petito, like the Gabby Petito story. I'm like, this seems A, too soon, new. And B, too realistic. This is, people are still living in their vans and going to see the world. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're still not even out of a pandemic.
Yeah.
And you're gonna do this the murder story from the pandemic already?
Yeah.
Even 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Too soon.
Much too soon. Oh.
Damn. Well, on that, you want to take a break?
I was going to set up the break so much less awkwardly.
Well, I mean, I don't. I get very skeered out by murder stories, so I'm like getting super tense. So I'm like, let's get out of here. What were gonna do?
I think we're killing it. I think this episode is the best for segues. No. Let's go to a break. We'll talk more about murder against Dan's will because he can't shut down the chat. This is his show. He needs the content.
That's true.
We'll be right back.
Hey, friends and weirdos. I'm Meg.
And I'm Alyssa, and we're the hosts over at the podcast Real Chills.
Do you love the unexplained?
Do you listen closer for things that go bump in the night?
If so, Real Chills podcast is for you.
The best part is all our stories are true.
You can check us out on Spotify.
And if you have a story you'd like to share, email us at realchillspodcast@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, Danny here with plugs. In addition to all the stuff we talked about on the episode, and I think still some more stuff we're going to talk about as the episode goes on here, you can catch Addison performing with her improv group, Synced Up. They perform monthly as Steel Stacks. You can also catch her with her Celtic band, Fig for a Kiss. They have a new single coming out next week. You can follow them on Instagram at fig.4.a.kiss, and you'll be able to see exactly when that song drops. As for George and I, George has his Spin to Freakin' Wheel show coming up. I don't know if they have figured out all the details yet, but if you stay tuned to our Instagram account at Feel Feelings Pod, we will definitely post when all of that stuff is finalized. It's an insane show. Definitely go check it out. If you could take a second to like, share, rate, and review, we would really appreciate it. It really means a lot for whatever the algorithms are asking for, so it goes a long way, and we love hearing what you say about the show. It means a lot. On the Wasted Robot side of things, you can go to wastedrobotrecords.com, find out about all the other shows on the network. And one last thing before we get back to the episode, just wanted to say real quick, Quizzically Devoted to You. That'll make a lot more sense later. Listen through to the end of the episode, and hopefully you'll connect those dots. We forgot to say it then, so I'm saying it now. And that's it, I guess. Back to the show.
I say that we're back. Have you ever heard of the Hinter Kafik murders? That's like my favorite murder story of all time. Basically,
go ahead.
A entire family was murdered in between Munich and Berlin. It's this little town called Hinter Kafik. And the only reason why they found the bodies so late and the killer has never been caught to this day was because when he murdered them all, he then lived in the house and cared for the animals. So when people went to go check out to see if anyone was at the house, they would see smoke in the chimney and that the animals were being tended to. And to this day, no one knows exactly who did it. But it was like,
wow,
a full family of like seven people, like a father, a mother, their daughter who had like a new baby and like two other children. That's all just immediately wiped out. And no one knows what happened.
Wow. Do you feel quizzical about that?
Wow. That's spooky. That's scary.
I won't say like I'm the biggest true crime fan. I like true crime. I'll throw it on in the background every now and again, just because it's around and it's there. But that's something that I'm not going to say I think about it a lot, but
as bones hang next to you.
These are animal bones.
That's how you start.
And honestly, it's art from my sister. I'm not a bone collector.
So it's genetic.
It's genetic. I asked her for art, or I asked her from like some cool spooky stuff one time for my birthday, because my birthday's right around Halloween. And then she gave me like a book of spooky stories from like you get at the dollar store and like potion goo and candy. And I was like, thank you so much. What I meant was some of your art, and I'm sorry for not being so straightforward.
Well, why don't you throw her a plug and then
check out Necroporium on Instagram. She makes the puppy dog tail earrings. That's kind of her big thing. Big seller, puppy dog tail earrings. Snips tails and puppy dog tails. But she's great. We'll get her on the show one day. She hates podcasts. We called her once. Yeah, she did not want to be
tried.
On. We tried. I've actually called her a couple times. She hasn't picked up. She's busy. But quizzical. What makes George quizzical? The Hinterkaifeck murders, solving those. The big thing for me.
That would be hilarious if you were like, this is actually the last episode of the show. I'm off to solve the Hinterkaifeck murders.
It's my new life's journey. I needed to do something. quizzical, that's tough. I tend to kind of, I don't want to get into like real chills territory because that's Meg's show, but
they can listen to both.
Yeah.
It's a
crossover episode. Get Meg in here. I've always thought that it is more interesting to live in the world where you can say that Bigfoot exists and ghosts are real and there's all this weird stuff that exists, instead of just being the Debbie Downer that goes like, that's impossible scientifically, that can't be proven. So I get really quizzical about like, how does that stuff work? What if Bigfoot isn't real, then what is Bigfoot? We've talked about it on the show many times before, and I've talked about it on Real Chills, but the town I grew up in Connecticut was infested with vampires, and I find it very funny that factual vampires. But I find it very funny that it was just people suffering from consumption and that the townspeople were just like, nah, it's vampires. And it took years later for people being quizzical to be like, are we sure it's not this germ theory thing?
Wow. That's crazy.
Like, it's such a weird, like, there's a whole chunk of New England that suffered from these like vampire panics in the 1800s.
Isn't that like what happened with Salem too? Like their water was polluted and it's like, oh, that's why they thought there was witches everywhere.
Yeah, there was ergot poisoning as a theory for it. And like, that's also just such a crazy thing that like people have been interested and inquisitive, which I guess I'm conflating inquisitive and quizzical together. But like the fact that they were like, we got to probably figure this shit out. Maybe it's the wheat. To narrow it down to such a small thing, it was like, oh, it's a fungus on the wheat that makes people hallucinate. Mm-hmm. Just interesting. I think since I got out of college, I have been a lot more interested into being curious and learning. Especially
when outside of that book learning stuff, and now you're on your own.
And now I'm like, I get to decide what I get to learn. This is great. And so that's kind of what I'm gonna say makes me quizzical, is like I do have this hunger for learning, and it's very interesting to dive into those topics and figure out why and how and what. That's my answer.
Nice. The vampire lady that they uncovered recently with the sickle around her neck.
What was that, Hungary or Romania?
I forget where it was, but one of those countries they dug where,
they dug up a body, and over the dead body's neck they had laid a sickle, so if she tried to stand up and rise from the dead, it wouldn't work. Keep in mind, and this is one of like the funniest portions of the vampire panic in the United States. There were different methods of dealing with vampires. It's almost like, it's officially Halloween. I'm calling it spooky season.
We're recording is the first day of fall. We're fine.
It's fall. There was different methods depending on where you were in New England. One of them was a lot more gruesome, where you'd like have to remove the heart and make an elixir to feed the other people being affected by vampires. But my favorite, I believe, was the New Hampshire method, where they would just flip the body upside down. So that when they rose from the dead, they just dig deeper. Like the idea was, where are they gonna go?
So somewhere deep in the earth's core, there's a bunch of New Hampshire vampires like convening.
Trying to find a lobster roll.
I can't do a New Hampshire accent. I imagine it's close to a Mainer accent, but yeah. It's got to be funny to see like an old vampire halfway to the Earth's mantle being like, you can't get there from here.
I love the sickle lady too, because there had to be people excavating or like, are we sure we want to move this? Like, yeah. Maybe yeah. She's just been waiting this whole time.
Yeah, just in case.
There was a big rock in Japan that stored an evil spirit and it broke in half recently.
Oh,
and
no, oh yes, no good. I did
see all that. Of Japan was like, no.
I've never heard the pandemic and stuff too. Like,
yeah. I never heard a country pull their collar in unison. No, just like,
we really stepped in it this time.
Oh, you know, spooky shit like that's so much fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Fun to think about.
If I weren't the producer of Real Chills, I never would have any interest in that world. But once a week, I am editing that show and just like, oh, this is so crazy. I love this.
What's been your favorite one recently?
The woman's name was Jessica Rao, and she had a story about kind of seeing a ghost in a dream and asking that ghost to go talk to other ghosts for her and bring ghosts also like into her house. And like, it was just this whole story of like, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, you could just ask them for stuff.
Like, does that mean like in my dreams that might be dead people and they could also help me? Like, maybe cool. I could do this.
And now, have you been trying to remember your dreams?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I went through a phase probably like 15 years old where all I tried to do was be sort of lucid in my dream. So I could be like, cool, I'm dreaming. I can do whatever I want. And I could never do it because I like sleep too much.
Oh, that literally, because for me, it's less and less now, but for a long time, anytime I would sleep on my back, I would be able to lucid dream. Like it was like that easy. But then I would wake up from the dream and be like, did I even go to bed? Like I know what I was dreaming and I was
so
like,
tired.
So I was asleep, yeah. But like I was active that entire time. I wasted the opportunity.
I once had, when I was a child, I must've been like 5 years old. I had the most annoying nightmare in the world. Like even as a 5 year old child, I thought this is the most annoying nightmare. I'm upset. And I just kept on waking up in the top bunk of my bunk bed, coming down the stairs, and right before I would touch the carpet at the bottom of the stairs, I would wake up in the top bunk again. And it happened 5 or 6 times. And when I finally woke up, I was on the bottom bunk. I was like, this has been taking forever. Like, I tried to wake up for breakfast 5 times.
I had
stuck
one.
In a loop.
Yeah, yeah, I got stuck in a weird time loop. Wow. And it was, to this day, I remember it vividly of being like, this is annoying.
Yeah. I had one once where there was like a Michael Myers thing happening, and it was like very clearly my neighborhood that I grew up in. Like, I was an adult, I was out of the house, but like, I was like, all right, great, I'm back here. And like, I was watching him go from like house to house, like around the corner, but I was just annoyed that I was all the way out there. And I was like, I'm going to have to go home after this. Like, that's all I was thinking as I'm like experiencing this lucidly, like whatever. And I just went in the house and I could see him like going from house to house still. And then he like came up to the house and I was like, nah, and he just left. I was like, what a boring nightmare.
You're being stalked by a killer and then you weren't even good enough to kill.
Yeah. He's like, I know you saw me.
Dan, do dreams make you quizzical? Are you quizzical about dreams?
No, but the first thing that jumped to mind, because every now and then I will just kind of do a deep dive through YouTube and try to find what I can of this, but the kind of not the surface level Hanna-Barbera cartoons, but the ones that you get as you go a little deeper.
Oh yeah, C-Team Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
Where, like all the ones where you watch Wacky Races and you're like, who is that?
All right, let me rattle off some few. Can we do a quick tier list? We're going to do a quick tier list of your Hanna-Barbera cartoon characters. Okay.
I mean, my era is probably 70s. So if you're outside of that, I might not get it.
I don't know. But. I don't know who's who. So I'm going to go with, first off, one of my personal favorites, Quick Draw McGraw and El Kabong.
One of the earliest. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to go with the cast of, I'm just going to go straight up Gadzooki from the Godzilla. Sure.
Yeah.
Godzilla cartoon.
I mean, just the fact that there is a Godzilla cartoon.
Yeah.
Like a weekly.
It's a, that, like, I would get very stoned in college and make fun of the proportions that were very off in that show. Where, like, oh, Godzilla would be regularly the size of the ocean. And then the next minute he'd be like no taller than a building.
Yeah. Like,
there was no proportion whatsoever. And also me and my friends convinced that the guy on board was just 70s Barack Obama, because there was a guy that looked remarkably like 70s Barack Obama on that TV show. Let's do the wacky races. I'm gonna do whatever the dog's name that hisses.
What the hell is his name? I can't think of it.
Damn it. Okay, hissing dog. Magilla Gorilla,
of course,
and ooh, one more.
I mean, you're missing the biggest ones. Like,
I'm trying to avoid the biggest ones.
Okay.
I'm trying to get you I want a tier list of the lesser known ones.
I only know the known ones.
I mean, yeah, you have your S tier or whatever, your Scoobies and the Flintstones and
Jetsons,
those. Yes. But then for me, A tier is like all of the Scooby-Doo knockoffs, where it's a bunch of kids running around and something that shouldn't be talking to them.
Yep. Where, like, what was the animal one? Was a shark?
Jabberjaw.
Mm. Yeah. Jabberjaw.
They're also in a band. Jabberjaw's their drummer.
Addison, I loved that I mentioned yes. the shark Hanna-Barbera cartoon. You went,
I just quite.
But I mean, there's a. What's it called? Captain Caveman is one
he's
of
great.
Them. He's probably, I don't know, maybe B tier, where character design and character mentality, love him. But, you know,
so
doesn't do much of anything.
What is El Kabong? And you can separate Quick Draw McGraw and El Kabong.
They're two different things. I don't know if I want to, because I'm not going to do like Superman and Clark Kent are different. Like,
yeah, one of them's a fucking narc.
Yeah. I mean, not that I'm implying that they're the same person, but I've heard that in the past. But I mean, even on that front, Super Friends is a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
That's true.
And is
I forgot my favorite fake Hanna-Barbera cartoon character.
Go ahead.
He's S tier, man. Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Oh, I mean, he is a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
That's S tier.
Like all those Space Ghost, they're every single one of those. Is a Hanna-Barbera cartoon that just turned into something way funnier later.
Yeah, very true. Space Ghost and Harvey Birdman, both, like, they elevated their careers in the 90s. Like, they were invented in the 60s. 30 plus years later, they're just like, no, we're killing it now.
I mean, I do think I can, like, single out Harvey Birdman as the reason I started getting into these, of like, who is that guy? Where, like, Adam Ant came in. I'm like, what? Adam Ant.
So good.
There was one where it's the Partridge Family, but they're in, like, the Jetsons world.
Wow.
Like, there was a Jackson 5 cartoon. Like,
yep.
Yeah, it is just such a deep well.
There were several Hanna-Barbera cartoons that I'm not convinced that they ran for a week. Like, they did 4 episodes, no more, no less.
I mean, I can say for sure most of them are like 16 episodes, I believe it. I think that's the number for all of them. It's like 16 episodes. That's all you
get. Wasn't it like, I think it's Scooby-Doo. The original Scooby-Doo was only like 10 episodes.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in that right era, but then, I mean, I guess for whatever reason, it took off.
Yeah. But yeah, originally it was just like 10 episodes, and everything after that is like not the original Scooby-Doo.
Hold on, I'm reading a thing where it says that the Hanna-Barbera team had produced more than 3,000 half-hour shows for 150 television cartoon series.
That's amazing.
That's so much.
It's also insane how many of them were just Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, there was one... I want to say the name is just Speed Buggy. I could be wrong about that, but it's Scooby-Doo. But instead of a dog, it's like a dune buggy. Like it is absolutely insane. There was a show called Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kids. Like, you know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, that, you know, really kind of powerful friendship movie with two old men getting along in ways that you don't really see old men get along in movies. Well, this was a band of like 70s hippie kids. totally not the same.
I just want to let you know that I did not realize this, that Johnny Quest is Hanna-Barbera.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
The Abbott and Costello cartoon show. The Herculoids.
Oh, the Herculoids. Oh, my God. Gleep and Gloop?
Yes anding me because you didn't yes and me earlier?
That sounds so made up. Oh, yeah. Gleep and Gloop.
Gleep and Gloop. If you've ever seen a child draw a ghost,
that's
one of them is the tall version and the other one is the short version.
I feel right now like you are going back into dreams I had and like being like, oh no, those weren't dreams, like those were real things. Yeah, like every like, oh, I did actually watch that as a show at 4 a.m when I was 5 years old and it stayed in my brain somewhere.
Yeah, I remember in the early days of Hulu a lot of these were available, and they no longer are because I think they've all been bought up and put on some other service. But I was watching the Jackson 5 one, the Harlem Globetrotters one.
I love that one. The Harlem Globetrotters Scooby-Doo crossover.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, amazing. My favorite one.
The world of Scooby-Doo crossovers. I mean, I could have just said that as my example here. Like, they've done wrestling. They've done Kiss.
I just got to Partridge Family.
Oh,
2200 AD. Yeah. this is why I love this. So Partridge Family, already a viable PO. Or IP, rather.
That was like mid-70s, right?
74 to 75. One season, 1 year. Didn't last very long. Partridge Family. 2200. Oh, okay, we're doing a future thing. After death, we're going to bring Jesus into it.
Yeah. I mean, it is the Partridge Family. You got to acknowledge Jesus.
That's true.
There's also Josie and... Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
But Josie and the Pussycats was part of Archie, but it was was Archie not Hanna-Barbera?
I feel like I should know more about the Archie world.
Yeah.
I know Archie is Sugar Sugar, and that is it. That is the extent of my Archie knowledge. That Archie the cartoon had a number one hit. That's what I know.
Just reading more things off the internet. Not only was there one Harlem Globetrotters show, I found another one. There was two Harlem Globetrotters shows.
Like same Hanna-Barbera style? Or
yep, same show. Okay. It was released a couple years later. They had the Harlem Globetrotters. And then they had Go-Go Globetrotters.
Ooh.
So all right. Like a What's New Scooby-Doo situation.
Nice.
America versus the Muttley. World. There Muttley. Was a show called America versus the World.
And who do you think won that one?
Oh, I hope America.
So I have the Wikipedia page up now.
Okay.
It appears the only show that had more than the like kind of 16, 17 episodes is Wacky Races had 34, and Scooby-Doo Where Are You, that one, the 69 to 78 version, had 41 episodes. Everything else is
which isn't even that a lot. It's
10 to
lot.
17.
I could watch 41 episodes of that show in a day, like on a lazy Sunday. I could watch all of Scooby-Doo Where Are You.
And the best part is you wouldn't know when one stopped and the other one started.
I wouldn't. Not unless that theme song kicked in. If Netflix takes away the theme song.
Slaps. I love the What's New Scooby-Doo theme song.
What's New Scooby-Doo is great.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to revive Rank Bank and just do a Hanna-Barbera kind of subcategory, like just a whole month of like theme song ranking.
I'll help. This seems like a lot of fun.
Knock off.
All right. I want to hear what the people say. I think now is a good time to see what the hell they thought Quizzical meant.
Well, they didn't say a lot this week.
That's totally fair.
I put it out there twice because it was getting a pretty slow reaction, because I feel like we might have needed to put Definition Man on this in the first place, because one of the first comments I got was, what does that mean?
But now they're quizzical about the definition of quizzical.
It's interpretive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, staying in the cartoon world, I don't know if either of you have seen this yet, but Bee and Puppy Cat, the new Netflix show.
It's not new. It's been around for years.
Is it?
Yeah.
New to me. I've never heard of this. I just started watching it. Well, my first interaction with it was I was in my office working and I could hear the music while Meg was downstairs watching it. And then all of a sudden Netflix stopped playing because she had fallen asleep at some point along the way. And if you've seen the show or heard the music, I don't know how anyone hasn't done that.
So here's the weird thing about the Bee and Puppy Cat. I see what's happening here. The first season, of which there were two episodes.
Okay.
But I guess they were very long episodes or something. Came out in 2013.
Mm, okay.
Season two was just released on Netflix in 2022.
Okay, so season two, I guess, so is took what a little
break.
Watching.
Yeah, it took a nice little nearly 10-year break.
Yeah.
It is a like very spacey, hypnotic show, and it's very good, very funny, but it is so hard to stay awake. It just puts you in this such like a calm, pleasant mindset. It is so nice.
That is great. Can I share the TV show my boyfriend and I have been doing that with? Is we've gone back and watched Thomas the Tank Engine. Specifically,
really?
Well, first we got into an argument because I only remembered Thomas, and he was like mentioning the Shining Time Station. I was like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "Yeah, and Ringo Starr is in it." I'm like, "Ringo Starr is not in Thomas the Tank Engine."
Well, it's Ringo and
is it Alec George
Baldwin
Carlin?
Is one and George Carlin.
Yeah. So I had never seen this Shining Time Station thing. I had only specifically seen, I think in the 90s, they just chopped out the Thomas versions and played that on TV.
Yeah.
So he like introduced me to this whole new show. And now it's like, if we're just like had a long day and need to like calm down before bed, it's like, let's just watch an episode of Thomas. Let's watch some Shining Time Station. And it just like lulls you to sleep. It's perfect.
I love that. I love when couples find their show that just like it locks them in. Like, this grounds us both. We have this.
Yep.
Yeah, for us that's The Simpsons, because Meg falls asleep quickly and then I watch The Simpsons.
Nice.
We're struggling with it. It's probably the biggest issue in my and Casey's relationship. Who's my fiance? I haven't said it all episode.
Woo!
I had to play.
Congratulations.
There we go. Thank you. I mentioned it at least once an episode. that's why we had to make a sound clip for it.
Yeah, it was coming up a lot.
Okay. I'm happy about it.
That's great.
There's still a whole nother year of this left.
Yeah.
I just wish that she would actually watch TV with me.
Mm, well, try Thomas. I think it's a good time. It's on YouTube. They're real short. So
we've tried many a show, but she gets caught up and it's a little too much for a little bit. It's like, I'm trying to think like, I was having a bad day yesterday, so I put on Lord of the Rings because I like Lord of the Rings, and it's a comfort show comfort movie for me. And she's never seen it, and she's the kind of person I'm marrying a woman that is mad at me that I'm good at bowling. Like, she thinks that it's really tacky and weird that I'm okay at bowling.
I think she should just be happy that you don't only wear bowling shirts.
Yeah. Like, one time I threatened to become a sword guy just to piss her off. Like, that's the kind of, she's so upset that she didn't marry like you know, a cross country runner or like some sort of like not a football jock, but somewhere around there. No, she got the weird artsy comedian musician.
just wanted somebody with a little consistency.
No, absolutely not. But like, she hates anything fantasy, anything sci-fi. Mm. It is remarkable that I got her into the Marvel stuff. But that was just
because I feel like every couple.
Nice.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good couple exercise to go through the Marvel stuff because there's so much of it. And it's like, this is going to get us through the next, like, 6 months.
Yeah. And you know what? And she did great that she was involved in it. She's watched them all and not even, like, she's excited when they come out. And she has her own opinions. Like, I really like She-Hulk. She's not a huge fan of She-Hulk, and that's okay. But
I agree
every
with both
of
you.
Yeah, every time, like, I put on Lord of the Rings or something, she just goes on her phone, and I just want her to share the experience with me. That's all I
so
want.
It's so fun. What a good fall show, too. Like, I don't know. I just
yeah. No, she was like, it's too scary. She's not a scare. She's like, she does not handle scary well.
I can understand that. I don't either. I don't. Yeah. I'm okay with Lord of the Rings. But yeah, like scary. I can't do. I actually took a horror cinema class in college, and I genuinely was just scarred for life every Tuesday night. I was like, this better be worth the 4 credits I need. So
I took
everything you had to watch, but yeah, don't have time for it.
I do too.
I'll send you guys the syllabus. I probably still have it somewhere.
Thank you so much.
I would actually love that.
Yeah,
I did a class in college where it was like new TV criticism. So we just got to watch Netflix and talk about it afterwards.
That's great.
And it was fantastic. And like, I wrote my final thesis paper about Community, and it was acceptable. Like, they were like, yeah, absolutely, fantastic, great job. It is postmodern, it is meta.
I mean, on that front, my crowning college achievement was I got to write a paper for credit on Clueless.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, it was one of the best papers I ever wrote, too, because I actually did the research, compared it to Emma, did the whole thing.
Yeah.
I was into it. It was great. I was really proud of that one.
You still paying those loans?
No, actually, I've been out of school for a very long time.
Good for you.
I'm old.
Wait, are we like all film majors here?
I was an American studies major.
Oh, all right.
I was like, what can get me a history degree without having to deal with all the boo-hickey of history? And they're like, American studies, it's kind of just culture and history. So if you can relate
fun.
If you can just relate anything back to America, it counts. So wow. Like, nice. I wrote a paper about
that's so cool.
I wrote a paper about how the music of Tony Hawk influenced a generation of Americans. Like, the
that's
music
awesome.
From Tony Hawk Pro Skater was the reason why American music is the way it is today.
That's
you know how
cool.
weird it is to cite a Wonder Years album in a play or in a paper for your college? Strange.
That's fun.
It's a good move though, because you know the professor is not going to check in on it.
Oh, no way. No way. I like even peppered in some like British stuff, and they were just like, yeah, okay.
Cool.
Okay.
So I have a Instagram response.
Okay.
Love thy neighbor. In various scriptures from the Bible, let's talk proximity. So,
okay. I get that.
Looking at the things that the Bible teaches you and going, how much do I have to listen to
this? Yeah, that's interesting.
Love thy neighbor.
I mean, how far away is a neighbor?
Yeah, if you're
living
in the farm. Yeah,
what qualifies a neighbor?
You don't need to love Greg down the road.
Yeah.
I don't like Greg down the road. I don't like this neighbor over here. He drives a motorcycle. It scares my dog.
I mean, the and crux like, of that whole passage, though, is like, love thy neighbor as you love yourself, right? So, like, as long as I don't love myself, I'm set.
Oh,
yeah. I don't have to love anybody.
Also, right. Like, love is a very strong word, right? So, like, it should be like respect to your neighbor, right?
My neighbor as a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to be, like, into them.
I'm not in love. Like, I don't like you like you.
Like, they're like an acquaintance. You can't, like, love an acquaintance, you know? You just be like, I respect them and their property, and we won't bother each other.
Yeah,
it's like,
you know?
Love your work friends as your regular friends. No.
Yeah. No.
No, they found out I did a podcast, they'd be so weirded out. I like this last one. Most of what the kids say at work.
Yeah, that is coming from the preschool.
I just took it as like a you kids get off my lawn situation. Like, I don't understand what they say at the bus stop.
Now I will say there is one more, because I shared this out twice. And the first time around, I don't know, friend of the show, I guess we can call him Glenn Tickle.
Local comedian Glenn Tickle. Yeah.
Local hero.
Ramapo College alumni, where American studies and writing papers about Tony Hawk is acceptable to get a degree. Yeah. Glenn Tickle.
So Addy, I know you're well aware of Glenn, but the context of this show, he
is a nuisance
pretty much every time with, you know, most of the time they're not as much of a stretch as the one I'm about to read, and I think this might be one of the best ones he's done, but this will kind of give you an impression of how he normally comments. One time I was curious while I was mishearing Olivia Newton-John lyrics, get quizzical.
I'm going to kill him.
we are going to have him back on the show soon.
I like that. I think that's a great like Weird Al version of the song. I think we should be encouraging people to get quizzical. Questioning things is good and healthy. We shouldn't just take things at face value, right? So
I mean, quizzical sounds like you're at like an elementary school assembly and the group is like coming out on stage to that song.
Yeah, I like that.
A children's improv group that's going to teach the kids not to bully. Which honestly feels a lot like Glenn Tickle's Lane. Anyway.
Yeah. I've seen one of those before, and it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen, but not for the reason the people on stage wanted it to be. The kids were besting them at every turn.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I will say, like, I do love... I love when art is put in the wrong place. Like... I'm obsessed with a band, or I was obsessed. I didn't follow them that far into their career, but I've been recently served more of their videos. But there is a band, it's for children, but they play punk rock gigs called Cuckoo Kangaroo.
Oh, they rule.
We play them
at school all the time.
Cuckoo Kangaroo is the best. I saw them open for Frank Turner and the Smith Street Band.
And they are so much fun. It is insanely fun to watch them perform.
Frank Turner and the Sleeping Souls, the Smith Street Band, and then Cuckoo Kangaroo at the Electric Factory in Philadelphia.
They sing Cat amazing. Party. They sing the roller coaster song that I love. Oh my God. They are a staple of our movement breaks at work. I am a big fan of them because their music is good.
But
most of what we play is not.
But I love that art can be both played at a preschool and played at a punk rock gig. And
yes,
both groups of people have the same reaction. They
do the thing where, at least what I've seen, I've never seen them personally, but the videos I've seen, they're just a party starter band where they hit play on their songs and then go make everybody party. Like they're not singing it live. They're just making you get into what you're listening to.
They're the only band that I've ever, I think they were, I was reading an interview and it was before they joined the Frank Turner tour, and Frank Turner went to go see them at a hardcore show in a basement in Brooklyn. And he said that once they took out the rainbow parachute and made everyone in the crowd get under the rainbow parachute. Just picture crust punks and scummy kids just under a parachute, just having the time of their fucking lives.
That sounds great.
Leaned over to the writer of the article. I think it was Dan Ozzie who wrote like Sell Out, and he writes for a bunch of other publications. He's like the punk rock journalist. Frank Turner leaned over and went, they're incredible, aren't they? Meanwhile, like, I think the Cro-Mags were playing later. Like, it was like an insane hardcore show that the Cuckoo Kangaroo guys were playing. But I say that to say that, like, I love art in the wrong place. Does that make sense?
I love it.
Just
like out of its normal home, let's put it somewhere else and see what happens.
If you can take
something art incongruous.
On art. Yeah. And it's like, if you can take it with 100% conviction and seriousness and move it to a different location, it gets funnier. Like, friend of the show, Tori Palin, great Broadway singer and all around great person. She did a cabaret show in New York in the old Studio 54, which I didn't realize that's where I was, but it's called 54 Below. I figured it meant feet. It's below the original Studio 54. She did a thing in her cabaret show where she sang a song from Rent where she played every role. She did every voice and just backed up and was jumping around. And it was so funny. And all I could think of was, I want to do this in front of an auditorium for children. Like, that's all. I want to see this art somewhere else where it gets funnier.
Yeah.
Doing a regular adult stand-up set for children under 5 would be amazing.
It'd be so good.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got to get out of here. All right. This has been a show. This has been wonderful. Great.
Addison, thank you so much for doing the show. I'm glad we got quizzical. I'm glad we got deep. Welcome back anytime. And Dan, I will see you later.
I love this bit. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
Lord, such a professional show.